Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. Okay, I'm old enough to remember when being called a tub of lard was the bad thing, but maybe that's changing. Christopher Deering is on phone line. He's a senior reporter for Food Dive. Christopher, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Lard is hot again?
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing lard, you know, it's found really a resurgence. A major reason, I think, for the rebound really is that, you know, a few years ago, everything that was in vogue and what was popular was low fat. And now you're seeing, you know, the attitude change that, you know, a little bit of fat in moderation is okay. And like lard, it's a big reason why butter and, you know, other vegetable shortenings like Crisco that everyone is familiar with are being consumed now in record amounts.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to my wife about this, and she's someone who reads a lot about trending food and different diets and things. And, you know, frankly, Christopher, sometimes it goes over my head. So I had her explain to me why, because she was very excited we're talking about lard today. And she explained it to me, but I'm still not quite sure I follow. But it's something to do with the fact that a lot of the other oils aren't so good for you, and it's good to consume natural animal fat. That's what they're learning again.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly correct. I mean, like, you do want to keep it in moderation. I mean, you know, lard, to be fair, does have, you know, certain negatives. I mean, it has a higher proportion of saturated fat compared to, like, some of the common plant oils that folks are used to, you know, cooking with, canola, olive oil, and sunflower. It also isn't as strong, you know, when it comes to, you know, the healthy fats, your monounsaturated fats, and, you know, the omega-6s and omega-3s that, you know, folks are familiar with as well. But the one thing, and one of the advantages it has over butter, for example, is obviously, you know, less salt or doesn't have salt, but, you know, it's composed of, you know, saturated fat, and, you know, it's like 70% saturated fat for butter, and then lard is roughly 45%. So it has the advantage there as well.
Oh, interesting. So it's got less saturated fat than butter does.
Correct.
Now, When I grew up in a small town, and there was a guy, the Schwann's truck would drive around, and they would sell different, you know, it was a freezer truck, and you get your pizza and your fudgesicles and things like that. And they would, that's where I think you would buy the tub of lard. I mean, literally, you would get a tub of lard. And then when it would sit in the basement, and you just go in like with an ice cream scooper or scoop out what you needed. How do you buy it now?
You can get it from the store, but obviously, you know, some farmers also sell it as well. You know, one farmer I spoke to in Pennsylvania told me that, you know, just a few years ago, he basically threw it out. Now he can't produce enough of it. You know, a big reason why lard is popular also is because not only are you using more of the animal, so it kind of speaks to that sustainability halo that's increasingly popular, but also it has the fact of, you know, you're helping a local business, you're buying locally. And so, you know, those have also helped benefit lard and increase its popularity among consumers.
You know, I'm just chuckling every time we talk or when you bring up a point, because It was such a negative thing for so long. And, you know, I did, but I've seen it coming up now in recipes lately, you know, such and, you know, half a cup of lard or quarter cup of lard. I didn't know until I read your article where lard, I mean, I knew it was an animal fat. I didn't know it came from pigs. How do they harvest it, or how do they get it? Where's it from?
Well, I mean, there's my understanding is there's two types of varieties. The first is called leaf lard. And that is found near the pig's kidney. It's really popular for things like, you know, a pie crust and other foods when someone wants to avoid like a porky flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the lard is called regular lard, and that typically comes from the back fat of the pig. So, you know, definitely, you know, for the squeamish, it may be a little. You know, you may be unwilling to use it and consume it, but, you know, that hasn't deterred a lot of folks today.
You know, as I think about it, the Crisco, they kind of made Crisco to resemble lard in a way, didn't they? I mean, it's in a tub. It's got the same sort of consistency.
It does. I mean, you're exactly right. And you scoop it out and same idea. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the benefit of lard, too, like you alluded to earlier, is you can put some of it on the counter. you know, and let it sit for days, and you know, you don't have to like refrigerate it. So it's pretty convenient in that respect.
And so I don't know how much of it the farming you're aware of, but it once a farmer cuts this lard out of a carcass, then does it have to be melted down and recongealed, or how is it that they sort of process it?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the process that I could probably speak to that. I mean, I know it's something that, you know, farmers are, they look at it as another way to bring in revenue. You know, a couple of the farmers I spoke to, you know, can charge $5, $6, $7, $8, you know, a pound mm-hmm. for this, you know, and some are even shipping it, you know, using e-commerce. But, you know, a lot of farmers aren't looking at it as a major source of revenue. I mean, I think the most lucrative part for them comes from the meat that you know, your bacon and ham and that kind of thing.
According to data you cite, 73.6% of the U.S. population is overweight or obese. So that's something we have to watch for. And if this is a good thing, it's important that it comes in moderation, right? Because there can be risks to too much of it.
I think that's exactly it. And a lot of nutritionists will tell you that, you know, too much of anything is a bad thing. And I think in this case, you know, using a little bit in moderation is okay, because, you know, you do need some fat. You just don't want to, you know, go too much and do too much, because, you know, that can have negative health consequences and really contribute to the you know, the statistics that you just alluded to.
You know, it took me a while to accept the fact that I could now have bacon without any guilt. I don't know how far I am from accepting that with lard, but I'm going to give it a shot. Have you ever cooked with lard?
I've tried a few times. Yes.
Have you?
I mean, it's definitely, I wouldn't say it's a regular part of my, you know, baking and cooking, but, you know, as I worked on this story, it really kind of helped me understand, you know, some of the biases and some of the skepticism that, you know, that the word lard really does have a lot of negative connotations attached to it.
Sure.
And, you know, it, you know, just by researching and interviewing folks, it sort of helped me understand a little bit more about, you know, what lard is about and really the benefits and the advantages it might have in a limited amount.
Okay, so there's that. And the tub of lard you said goes a pound of lard anywhere from $6 to $8.50 per pound. Our prices are $8.50, I think, include shipping for some farmers. But
exactly,
prices are going up in the grocery aisle left and right. Right? Should we expect increases this summer?
I think you know, a lot of companies, a lot of your big name companies, Coca-Cola, Nestle, Mondelez, you know, just a few of the companies that have really announced price increases already, or telegraphed to consumers that hikes are coming in the near future. I mean, I think the answer to your question is yes. You know, consumers, if they haven't seen it already, should brace for price increases. You know, because you're seeing it come from all sides, whether it's like aluminum used in cans. You know, meat prices are being affected by higher grain costs that are used for turkeys and pigs, like we talked about earlier. Increased transportation costs. So already it's affected a large swath of products. You know, Hormel has increased Skippy peanut butter, Spam, you know, Jennie-O turkeys. And, you know, we've seen countless companies reference that, you know, it's a tough environment.
And when we're talking increases, what we're talking about, a couple percentage points or how much increase?
I think a couple of percentage points are going to be the most likely. I mean, obviously, it's going to vary depending on, you know, if a particular company is facing a particular, you know, if they have a commodity like cans are a big part of their business, say like, you know, Coca-Cola, potentially, you know, the increase maybe is there if they're facing a higher increase and a higher, you know, price point than another company might face in another area.
How does the competition between online sales for groceries and in-store sales lead into this or feed this sort of price increase?
Well, I you know, I think in the case of what you're talking about there is, I mean, you know, e-commerce sort of, you know, increases the ability for folks to go online and you know, do more of their purchases that way. And so, you know, what we're seeing here is that if there's increased demand for products, particularly as the economy rebounds, you know, from COVID and the pandemic, that, you know, if there's these higher price increases, whether it comes online or whether in stores, consumers might be more inclined to go to, say, like a dollar store or, you know, Amazon. And it also, you know, could impact private label or store brands. So the thinking goes there that obviously if prices are higher on your big name brands that consumers are you know, often purchasing, that they go to these private label, which have increased in popularity and have a higher reputation as, you know, being as good or in some cases even better than the brand name equivalents.
Christopher Deering is the senior writer for fooddive.com. Okay, real quick, Christopher, what's the best thing you've made with lard?
I'd have to say the pie crust, honestly. Yeah. Just making like an apple pie.
Like
keeping
grandma.
Simple.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Nice to talk to you today. Thank you very much.
Likewise. Thank you for having me.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. We're going to head into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.